The hymn Amazing Grace says that even after thousands of years in heaven, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Well, today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah focuses on that heavenly atmosphere of unending praise and thanksgiving, the direct result of God's grace in our lives here on earth. With the conclusion of his message, The Continual Praise of Grace, here's David.
And we want to thank you for joining us throughout the month of August as we have taught this series called Captured by Grace. Today is the last message in that series, and we're going to conclude with a reminder of the importance of our gratitude for the grace of God. His grace has been lavished upon us in salvation and in all of our Christian walk, and what a wonderful thing for us to stop and reflect upon that and be sure to give thanks with all of our hearts for the grace of God. Where would we be without His grace? When you think about that, you'll want to give thanks, and there'll be some motivation in today's message for us all to do that. Let me remind you that this is the very last day for you to order your copy of the August resource, In the Words of Jesus, a very special devotional book that focuses on the very words that our Lord spoke while He was on this earth. I think it's probably the most elegant resource we have ever created, apart from the Jeremiah Study Bible, perhaps. And I know that you're going to love this little book. You're going to want to put it where it can be seen by others when they come to your office, to your home. It has a beautiful blue leather cover with the words, In the Words of Jesus, embossed in silver. The pages are gilt edges. There's a little ribbon to help you keep your place as you study through it. And, well, it's just a really wonderful, wonderful resource. And this is the last day for me to make it available to you. So if you haven't sent your gift to Turning Point during the month of August, let me encourage you to get that in the mail today and be sure to ask for your copy of In the Words of Jesus. Now, I want us to get started in today's lesson so we don't run out of time. Let's join the stream of praise that comes from the earth to God for the grace of God in our lives.
You know, what if we had a person on our staff here whose only job was to go around and be thankful and motivate other people to be thankful all the time? That's all they did. What is your job on the Shadow Mountain staff? I'm the pastor of Thanksgiving. You're what? Yes, I'm the pastor of gratitude. Well, what do? I go around to all these sorry, grouchy old Christians, and I try to get them to cheer up. I remind them that they have been saved by grace, and I keep telling them, give thanks and praise the Lord. I'm just about ready to hire two or three people like that. You know that? In fact, what the Bible says is this. Gratitude is so important for those of us who are Christians that it is associated with our triumphant victory in Jesus. That it's impossible for you to be a victorious Christian and not be grateful. Did you know that? Over and over again, those two things are brought together. Here's just two illustrations. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be unto God who gives us triumph in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and victory. Thanksgiving and triumph. You want to be a victorious Christian? Let me suggest to you that you start by being a grateful Christian, because gratitude is kind of like the catalyst that begins to cause every other part of your life to come open toward God and toward others. How many of you know it's not fun to be around a person who's always complaining, who's always griping about stuff, who nothing is ever right? What a desire, what a wonderful joy it is to be around people who've got a spirit of gratitude. Sometimes these are people who are going through a lot of bad stuff, and yet they still have this attitude of gratitude, and it lifts them up, and it lifts everyone around them up. That's the spirit that Paul is talking about when he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many of us spend a lot of time trying to find out the will of God for our lives. I can't tell you what God wants you to do for a job or where He wants you to live, but I can tell you this. It is the will of God for you to be a grateful Christian. That's what the Scripture says. Absolutely. No question about it. When you feel that old spirit of complaining starting to come up in your heart, you need to go back and remind yourself, hey, if I let this happen, I'm going to be out of the will of God. It's the will of God for me to be thankful. the priority of praise and thanksgiving. Notice, secondly, the perspective of praise and thanksgiving. And I want to give you a scripture from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 12:24 says this. These are the words from the prophet Samuel. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Now watch this. And consider what great things he has done for you. Say that out loud. Consider what great things he has done for you. When was the last time you considered the great things God has done for you? Oh my goodness, if we don't take inventory once in a while and give thanks to God for the great things he has done for us, we will totally get out of perspective. I read about some golfers, some senior golfers, who hit the course one morning to play golf, and they were filled with complaints, and their attitude was terrible. One of the guys said, you know, these hills are getting steeper every year. Another guy said, you know, these fairways are getting longer every year. And the third golfer said, these sand traps are bigger and deeper than I've ever seen. What are they doing, digging these out every year? And finally, after hearing all this negative stuff from his three buddies, the fourth golfer looked at him and he said, you guys just need to be thankful that you're on the top side of the grass. Amen? Just need to be thankful you're on the top side of the grass. You know, life is a matter of perspective, isn't it? And when you're not grateful, when you don't have a spirit of gratitude, everything looks cloudy and dark until you have a chance to back up and get some perspective. Back in 2003, two researchers published the results of their research project on gratitude and thanksgiving. And they identified gratitude as the forgotten factor in happiness. These are secular people. They're not believers. And what they discovered is so interesting. They said those who keep a weekly gratitude journal got more exercise, had fewer physical problems, felt better about their lives as a whole, and were more optimistic. Isn't that interesting? It has something to do with how you feel. Over a 2-month period, those who kept a gratitude journal were more likely to achieve personal goals involving health, academics, or personal relationships. Young people who kept a daily gratitude journal reported higher states of alertness, enthusiasm, and energy. My friend, when you are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, you just are a better you. You're a better person. The research showed that grateful people have more positive emotions, they're more satisfied with life, have less depression and stress. Grateful people tend to be more generous and more helpful to others. Grateful people place less importance on material things. They envy less. They are more likely to share their goods with others. The bottom line is that gratitude is good for you. It's a good prescription. God knows how he has put us together, and God Almighty wants us to be men and women who are filled with gratitude because of his grace. Without gratitude in our lives, we lose perspective. We begin to look at the world as if everything is wrong. We fill our hearts with anxiety and pressure, and then we take a long look at God's goodness to us, and we begin to be grateful. We begin to realize what we have in Christ. And then the Bible says what happens is we thank him. And the word thank is a word that comes from the same root word as the word we get word think. When you think of what God has done, you begin to thank God for what he's done. Think and then thank. Consider and then be grateful. The very act of thinking about God and what he has done causes us to refocus our attention and get things back into perspective. That's why there is such an uplift in our church when we enter into praise and worship, because we're seeing God high and lifted up, and we're seeing who he is and what he has done and being reminded of his goodness to us, that forever and forever he is our God. I was reading a book by Dallas Willard, who has written a lot about the spiritual disciplines, wrote this, and it is so wonderful to think about life the way he wrote this. This is what he said. Has God ever done anything greater for anyone, nor could he do anything greater for you than to bring you to himself? Suppose God put $10 million in your bank account every morning for the rest of your life, but he didn't save you. Suppose he gave you the most beautiful body and the most beautiful face of anyone who ever lived, a body that never aged for 1,000 years, but then at death he shut you out of heaven and he put you into hell for eternity. What has God ever given anyone that could compare with the salvation he has given to you as a believer? Do you see that there is nothing God could ever do for you or give to you that is greater than the gift he's already given you? And that's the gift of himself and the salvation that is yours through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The perspective of praise and thanksgiving. When you realize what you have and you really concentrate on what you have, it's got kind of hard to be upset over what you don't have, isn't it? When we get to heaven someday, we look back over our shoulders at our lives. We're going to see how insignificant so much stuff was that we stressed over and how great the grace of God has been in our lives. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Now, let me just talk with you for a moment about the possibility of praise and thanksgiving is related to the possibility of grace in your life. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 tell us we're to give thanks always for everything. Colossians says whatever we do in word or deed, we're to give thanks to God. Is it possible to live like that today? People ask me all the time, well, you know, Pastor Jeremiah, I just don't know what I'm going through. If you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't be talking about being grateful. Man, how could anybody be grateful when I'm facing what I'm facing? Or they'll say something like this, you know, Pastor Jeremiah, I've had a killer week. You want me to be grateful? Get real. I've had a killer month, or I've had a killer life. Everything about my life is all messed up. Well, I want you to remember, men and women, that the person who gave us the body of information about gratitude and thanksgiving was the Apostle Paul, and most of that information was written in what we call the prison epistles. It's written in the epistles that Paul wrote while he was in prison. What are the prison epistles? They're Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And gratitude is mentioned in each of the letters. More than 10 times in all of these letters, Paul mentions gratitude. Now, you would expect a person to be grateful if he was in a palace somewhere, but what about in a prison? Paul understood that gratitude wasn't situational. It wasn't where you were or what you had. It was your relationship with God. And he told us and he taught us about grace and thanksgiving and praise out of the letters he wrote during the most stressful time in his life. And I just want you to know that if Paul can live the life of gratitude and thanksgiving while he's incarcerated, so can we. Over in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, he gives a little list of some of the things he had faced. And I don't want to go through that list, but just to tell you, he talks in Romans 8 about tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword. And then the next verse he says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors in tribulation? Oh, yeah. More than conquerors in persecution? Yes. More than conquerors in famine? One writer expressed his understanding of Paul's letter, and he said this was Paul's defiant, triumphant cry in the face of every trouble and in the face of every contingency and every conceivable trial or temptation, any and every emergency that might arise. He seems to challenge every force of the entire universe. He laughs at death. He defies principalities and powers. He hurls the gauntlet at things present and things to come. Neither tribulation, nor distress, nor persecution, nor famine, nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword shall ever separate him from the love of Christ. There is no creature that will ever separate Paul from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Not only will he be conqueror, but he will be more than conqueror. Wow. Can you live that way? Yeah, you can. Paul tells us we can. He didn't start that way, but he grew to be able to live his life in the midst of all the stuff he faced. I get so tired of people thinking that we in this generation, that we are the only people that have ever had tough times. Frankly, here in our culture, in our country, our lives are so much easier than any of the people who wrote in the scriptures. And yet we're always talking about how things are so tough and we can't get through. So I want to give you a little paradigm so you can learn how to practice praise and thanksgiving. That's the next thing, the practice of it. And here's what I've discovered in my study of the Bible. I've found praise and thanksgiving to be appropriate in almost every situation imaginable. Did you know that? First of all, you can praise and worship and be thankful every morning and every night. That's a good start right there. Psalm 92, 1 and 2 says, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now watch this. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Get up in the morning, thank God for his loving kindness, and then as you look back over the day, thank him for his faithfulness. One day at a time, just praise him in the morning, praise him at night. When you get up in the morning, do you say, good morning, Lord? Or do you say, good Lord, morning? I mean, that's the whole deal. Isn't that it? That's the difference, isn't it? When you get up, do you have an attitude of gratitude? It'll permeate the whole day. It will take you through the day in a way you can't imagine. Not only in the morning and at night, but notice praise and worship at midnight. Did you know you can do this at midnight? Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Now, I don't know this for a fact because I haven't experienced this totally, but they tell me that as you get older, it's harder to sleep through the night. That's what I've heard. That you start waking up. You start waking up early. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night. Is there any credence to that? Is that true? Yeah, you got to wake up? All right. What do you do when you wake up? Do you fuss and fume and fret because you woke up and you can't go to sleep? I've come to this conclusion, and this has happened to me a little bit now. I've come to this conclusion, when God wakes me up, it's because he has a purpose. So I can lay there and fuss and fume that I woke up and I really want to be asleep, or I can start to talk to the Lord. Sometimes he reminds me of something in the middle of the night that I had forgotten. Sometimes I offer a prayer of thanksgiving to him. Sometimes I pray about somebody or someone that I'm reminded of. But the Bible says you can praise God at midnight. And you remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? The Bible says at midnight they were singing hymns to God. So now we got three specific times the Bible says about doing this. You can do it in the morning, you can do it at night, and you can do it at midnight, all right? Here's another one. The Bible says you can praise and worship the Lord at every meal. Romans 14:6 says, he who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. Now, I've noticed that most of y'all haven't missed many meals. I mean, we're all pretty healthy, and some of us are more healthy than we should be, but we don't miss many meals. So when you don't miss many meals, all you got to do is every time you eat, use that as a reminder to give God grace and give him gratitude and thanksgiving. Most of us do that. Isn't it wonderful to go into a restaurant, look across the room, and see a Christian family hold hands before they eat and bow their head and hear the Father pray or watch him pray? And when you do that, you send a silent witness to that whole restaurant about the place that God has in your life. You give God praise every time you eat. I hope that's your habit, not just when you're at home, but when you're out in public. You don't have to make a scene out of it. I used to have a friend who'd go in a restaurant. He thought this was a great time to witness. He'd stand up at the table and he'd pray real loud so the whole restaurant could hear. He did more damage to the Christian faith than anything he could have done. They thought he was a nut. But you can quietly, with your family, gathered around the table. How many of you do that? How many of you pray before you, even in a restaurant? It's a great thing. So you praise God in the morning, you praise him at night, you praise him at midnight, you praise him before every meal, and then, unless you don't know what else you should do, here's the last one. Praise and worship him in every word and in every deed. Listen to Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise and thanksgiving are good barometers of your spiritual health. If you're a grateful person, it's probably because you're walking with the Lord. Finally, that's the perfection of praise and thanksgiving. Will there ever be a time when the whole atmosphere will be full of praise and thanksgiving? Yes, there will be. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. One day there's going to be a joyous chorus of praise and thanksgiving that will go on forever and ever throughout eternity. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord for how long? Forever. John Newton and Paul the Apostle both anticipated the experience of praise in heaven and gratitude. And since the day of their conversion, they became men of grace, men of thanksgiving, men of gratitude. And as they got older, they anticipated more and more the opportunity they would have one day to experience something like Revelation 11 tells us. Listen to this. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was and the one who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Did you know that the book of Revelation is the songbook of the New Testament? There are more songs in the book of Revelation than there are in any other book of the Bible except for the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. What does that say? It says that heaven is going to be a place of thanksgiving and rejoicing and praise. All of our voices will be perfect. We'll have perfect pitch. We'll be able to appreciate each other in a way that we don't now. We'll all be able to sing together in harmony. God is going to give us the privilege He's going to tune us up finally up there, but I think God wants us to get in rehearsal down here so that when we get there, it's not a major overhaul job. It's just a little tweaking here and there. You know what I mean? So that throughout eternity, we can praise Him. That's what He wants. Don't say, well, you know, I'm living on this earth. I'll get grateful when I get to heaven. No. No, God isn't going to honor that in your life. Are you thankful today? And we need to be reminded that of all the people, we should be most thankful. That's what God tells us. Something happened in the Washington subway system that uniquely illustrates what we have been talking about. The crowded train had stalled in the bowels of the earth on the underground track. And the commuters who were on the train were totally beside themselves. They were talking to one another. They were frenzied. They were filled with complaints and accusations. They were mad at the driver. They were railing against the metro authorities. They were talking about the federal government, anybody they could think of to blame this mess on. And they were scared. It was kind of like just a huge commotion of griping and complaining and misery. Somewhere in the midst of this invective, a woman was coming home from a shopping tour, and she had a number of shopping bags with her, and she was jostled by one of the passengers, and one of the bags fell on the floor, and there was a bottle of perfume in this bag, and when it fell on the floor, it broke. And the luxurious fragrance of that perfume began to fill that entire subway. And those who were there said it was as if the fresh smell of that perfume released people from their spell. They sniffed, and they smiled, and they relaxed, and they began laughing with each other. And I want to tell you that as we await the day when we will join the myriads of believers praising God around His throne, we have been given the opportunity in life's crowded moments where people feel stuck to be the fragrance of God through our grateful spirit. When we walk into a room where there's griping and complaining and negativism, we become the emissaries of grace. It's like a perfume has been released in the atmosphere. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 captures it. Let's read it together. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen.
Amen. What better way can we end this wonderful study in the grace of God than to just bow our heads and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for the grace that made it possible for me to be saved. And thank You for Your grace that sustains me day by day in my life. And my friend, if you don't know this grace, if you've not met the Lord Jesus Christ by putting your trust in Him for salvation and forgiveness of sin, I encourage you to make that decision today, wherever you are, to invite Jesus Christ to come and live within your heart and to receive the wonderful gift of grace that He is providing, forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. It's the best offer you will ever hear in your life, and it's certainly worthy of your attention. I hope you will make the decision to put your trust in Him, and please let us know when you do that. We have some information we'd love to send you that will help you get started right in your newfound faith. Now, as we close out this month on Friday, I want to remind you that on Sunday, we will be on television all over the United States, and we're going to show you again the event that took place in Madison Square Garden back in December of last year. One of the most important events we have ever had as a part of our ministry, and I want you all to see it. You will enjoy inspiring worship, unique videos, and a teaching on the importance of the Word of God as we've introduced the Jeremiah Study Bible into circulation that historic night. And when we come together again on Monday, we began a series that was based upon my experience with cancer some years ago. It's called When Your World Falls Apart. If you know someone who's going through a difficult time right now, you might want to encourage him to listen beginning on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
For more information about Dr. David Jeremiah's current series, Captured by Grace, just visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. It's where we offer two great ways to stay connected to Turning Point. You can request a free copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and subscribe to our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to the Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, ask for your copy of the new book, In the Words of Jesus, a collection of some of the most important statements ever made by Christ on relevant topics like love, forgiveness, prayer, following Jesus, and more. This unique book is yours for a gift of any amount. Just call or visit our website to order today. This is Mark Larson. Join us Monday as we begin the series, When Your World Falls Apart, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.